state your name and ADC number for the record this time.
Kimberly Bockrich, 293085.
Ms. Bockrich, you're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Primacy for your revocation hearing regarding the three alleged allegations on your warrant. And based upon the information that we have, you were notified of this hearing back on September the 28th of this year. Do you remember that notification, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
And it stated, among other things on there, that you could obtain a licensed attorney at your own expense to represent you. We don't see one in the room today. Therefore, may I assume that you're going to represent yourself this afternoon?
Yes, sir.
And as you can see, there are three board members participating in your hearing this afternoon, and they are to my right. That is the Honorable Mr. Louis Kiwanis. To my left, that's the Honorable Mr. David Neal. My name is C.T. Wright. I'm going to serve as panel chair. The gentleman that you should be able to see now, that is Mr. Osborne. Mr. Osborne is representing the Department of Corrections as well as representing your parole officer this afternoon. Ms. Bockrich, Ms. Bockrich, and you, Mr. Osborne, both of you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, or do you so affirm?
Yes, sir.
I do, sir.
Thank you. You have three allegations on your warrant. I'm going to read each one of them, and once I read them, would you tell me, I'm going to give you three choices. You can say true, false, or that you want to plead the fifth, you don't want to talk about it. And the reason we give you that last choice to plead the fifth is that we do take note that you have a DR number on your warrant. That means that there might be some legal actions that has not taken place, or maybe it's already been finished, but we don't know at this point. We'll know in a few moments. Therefore, this hearing is being recorded. And therefore, if this has not been resolved and it has to go to court, then the prosecutor or your defense attorney can request a copy of this recording. Do you understand, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so I'm going to read each of these now. The first one reads that you had in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engaging in criminal activity on or about August the 19th, 2017. Ma'am, is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth? Don't want to talk about it.
Plead the fifth.
Okay, thank you. The next one reads that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engaging in criminal activity on or about August the 24th, 2017. And on that one, do you true, false, or do you plead the fifth? And the final one reads that you're in violation of Arizona condition of supervision number 5, as demonstrated by your engagement in physically assaulted behavior on or about August the 26th, 2017, at 3793 South State Line Road in Podo, Arizona, 85632. Ma'am, is that true, false, or do you plead the fifth? Okay, and although you plead the fifth, we will receive testimony from the Department of Corrections on each of those, and then we will go into phase two and we'll talk to you about other things, but we will not discuss with you either one of these allegations because you plead the fifth on each of them. Honorable Mr. Osborne, would you give us testimony on allegations 1, 2, and 3?
Yes, sir. Allegation number 1. On August 29th of 2017, this officer reviewed Facebook messages to the offender's telephone. On text dated August 17th of 2017, the offender was contacting an individual to get heroin and cocaine. Follow-up, the offender was arrested by Douglas Police Department, or PD, and transported to Cochise County Jail for violating her parole. Allegation number 2. On August 29th of 2017, this officer reviewed telephone text messages in the offender's telephone. On text dated August 24th of 2017, the offender was contacting individuals to get oxycodone. The offender was arrested and transported to Cochise County Jail for violating her parole. Follow-up number 2. The offender was arrested by Douglas PD and transported to Cochise County Jail for violating her parole. Allegation number 3. On August 28th of 2017, it was reported to this officer by Terry Farley, the offender's mother and sponsor, that the offender was arrested at approximately 4 a.m. on August 26, 2017 for assaulting her. On August 26th of 2017, Cochise County Deputy Hope, badge number 1418, was dispatched to 3793 South State Line Road, Portal, Arizona 85632 at 3:09 a.m. for a domestic violence call. Deputy Hope arrived at the residence at 3:48 a.m. Deputy Hope stated that he spoke with Teresa Terry Farley. While the deputy was speaking to Ms. Farley, he stated the offender was very jittery and kept rapidly flickering her fingers. The deputy placed the offender outside of the home with United States Border Patrol agent Gerald Brinkman, badge number 44, who arrived as an assisting officer while he interviewed Ms. Farley. Deputy Hope stated that Ms. Farley took him into her bedroom as the place of the incident occurred. He stated the room was in disarray and that there were multiple prescription bottles on the floor in front of the dresser. Ms. Farley stated that she woke up at approximately 2:30 a.m. to 3 a.m. with the offender in her room and using a flashlight. She further stated that she attempted to get out of bed and was thrown back into bed multiple times by the offender, who stated she wanted her cell phone. Deputy Hope observed multiple contusions on Teresa's left arm and a couple on her right arm. Ms. Farley stated that she stood in front of the dresser to attempt to keep the offender from going through it, and the offender shoved her back by the neck in an upward motion. Deputy Hope stated that he handcuffed the offender, read her Miranda rights, and then conducted an interview with the offender. The offender claimed that she was looking for her phone and was inconsistent with her statement. Deputy Hope stated that the offender was unsure of where she was at, either in the room, the living room, or in the living room. Deputy Hope stated that the offender avoided eye contact and showed signs of untruthfulness. The offender claimed that Ms. Farley had been pushing her around and slapping her. Deputy Hope stated that there were no signs of injuries to the offender's face or arms. Follow-up number 3, the offender was arrested and transported to the Cochise County Substation at Douglas, Asia, where she was booked for assault, domestic violence, criminal damage, domestic violence, and disorderly conduct.
Thank you so much, Mr. Osborne. Inasmuch as Ms. Barker indicated that she pleaded the fifth on allegations 1, 2, and 3, I'm going to make a motion at this time. It would be to find that she violated the terms and conditions of her supervision, that she was delinquent, that she had or may have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
By the unanimous determination of the board, you've been found in violation of the terms and conditions of your supervision. Now, ma'am, we're going into phase 2. Remember that, and this is for you as well as for board members, that we will not discuss allegations 1, 2, or 3 because you pleaded the fifth, but we will discuss any other issues that the board might want to discuss or raise any questions that the board might want to raise. At this time, we're going to begin phase 2 by receiving some background information coming from the Department of Corrections. And Mr. Osborne, sir, would you present us with that information?
Yes, sir. Ms. Backeridge was released from DOC custody on May 25th of 2017. She was arrested on August 29th of 2017 by the Douglas Police Department on a tech warrant for misdemeanor, assault, domestic violence, criminal damage, domestic violence, and disorderly conduct, domestic violence. She was returned back to our custody on September 1st of 2017 with 0 abscond days, with a community supervision ended at February 21st of 2018. Current conviction, 2016, theft means transportation, 2 years. Prior convictions, 2014, criminal simulation, 1 year. She's had 2 terms with DOC, had the CUIR score of 2-1, a mental health score of 3, and a substance abuse score of 3. There is no OCG or gang information noted. Prior term to supervision, 2014. TR completion, 6 months. Other arrests, 2013. Shoplifting, AZ unknown. She has a community risk score of G3, V2. And charges are still pending. And she also has a failure to appear warrant for due to the fact that she was returned to custody and could not appear in person.
Okay, so thank you so very much. But the latter thing that you said, that means that when she is released, they will issue the warrant, I mean, they will serve her with the warrant.
Yes.
Thank you so much, sir. Okay, we are back to you, Ms. Patrick. You were released to reside with your mother. How long did you stay with your mother? Did you reside with her while you were out, ma'am?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we don't show any employment due to medical issues, so you had no employment at all?
That is correct.
Okay. And we also show that you, as it relates to your UAs, you have one negative one. That would have been on June the 6th. And then we show on, what's that, August the 22nd, that you had a positive for amphetamine. And on September the 1st, there was a negative sample. So you had two negatives and one amphetamine, and we show that you were referred to the SAGE program for abuse prevention, and as well as to the SEABHS for mental health evaluation, and the offender presented mental health evaluation paperwork. Intake was dated July 24th, 2017. So what did you do with the SAGE program for regarding substance abuse? Did you complete that program at all, ma'am?
I did. The only thing was I got arrested the day before I was going to receive my certificate.
Okay, well, we're glad that you were making progress on that. I'm sorry that you were arrested, of course. But we're glad that you was making progress on that one. Now, was there any follow-up to this mental health evaluation, or they just did the mental health evaluation and just left it, or did you have to follow up, go for any programs or any medication or anything on that, ma'am?
I was diagnosed as SMI, and I was scheduled to meet with the doctor, but again, me coming back here prevented that.
Okay. Have you reported that to your CO3 that you need the SMI treatment, follow-up, medication, or whatever? Have you discussed that at all with anyone there at the Perryville?
I did with the medical department, and they said that they don't show it in their records that I was diagnosed SMI.
Okay. Let me just ask one other question, because we can't talk about, you know, the allegations, but whether you are released by this board, whether it wants to release you now or whether it's in February, of course, you do have these charges pending, but once you get everything straightened out legally, what are your plans? What do you plan to do? Because you are... you have a life before you. Life does not stop when you leave Perryville. So what's your long-term plans, ma'am?
What I would like to do, which is something I've never done before, which is to attend a dual diagnosis treatment center for mental health issues as well as my drug addiction.
Okay. So when did you start using drugs? About what age? When you were really young, or just a few years ago? When did you start using drugs, ma'am?
Approximately around the age of 30.
Oh, most people start young. So you waited until any particular reason? You just decided at that point that you want to use drugs, or did you have something in life that happened, or a friend who encouraged you? Why did you start using drugs, ma'am?
When I got married when I was 18 to a man 11 years older than me who already had two children, and at that time their mother was here at Perryville, so I took the responsibility to raise them, and then I ended up having my own son, and when he was 5 and my stepson was 12, I found out that my stepson was molesting my son, and I didn't handle it very well. I became very depressed, and my heart was just shattered, and one day this neighbor brought over some pills crushed up, and I did it, and for the first time in months I did not feel that gut-wrenching pain, and it just turned into an addiction.
Well, we hope that substance abuse treatment at some point, even now while you're incarcerated, we hope that you get some help with the substance abuse, because with your family out there, your son, you really need to live a productive life. Let me just ask one other question. I do take note that one of the programs that you were involved in was Senate Bill 1291. Did you complete that program, ma'am?
I did.
You did? Well,
yes.
Congratulations. You see, you can do something positive. That's why you need to do everything positive in the future. Congratulations on that. Well, now I'm going to other board members for any questions that they might have for you at this time. I don't see any questions from other board members. Therefore, we're coming towards the end of your hearing, and this is your hearing. Therefore, we want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement to the board before the board goes into discussion and makes a determination whether to revoke your community supervision or to continue you on community supervision. So anything else you want to tell the board at this time, ma'am?
Just that I appreciate your time. I appreciate you listening to me, and whether I am released or if I stay till February, I'm good, you know, either way, because I know that if I stay, then that's obviously the road that, or the path that I'm supposed to be on. So I just appreciate your time.
Okay, well, thank you so very much for appearing before the board today. Now the board is going into discussion. Once the board completes this discussion, it will make a decision. So please stay on the phone. Board members, the board is now in discussion. This is, again, an unfortunate situation that she has had, ended up using some drugs, and I think that has affected her life in more ways than one. As it relates to her future, I think that, you know, although I would recommend very strongly that she would get some treatment for her drug addiction, and also get some treatment for her mental health or SMI situation, because I can look out and tell her she can have a great future. However, inasmuch as she does have those pending charges, and we don't know what's going to happen to them because the warrant has already been issued once she's out, I think it would be in her best interest to complete her sentence, and when she get out, hopefully she'll have a program together to stay off of drugs, SMI, and get treatment for SMI and resolve that pending situation. So that's my feeling, but I'm prepared to listen to other board members.
I agree with you, Don.
Therefore, I'm going to move to find that Ms. Buttrick violated the terms and conditions of supervision, that she was delinquent in as much as she did use amphetamine while she was out, as well as information based upon information contained in warrant number 2017W3009. I'm going to move to revoke the community supervision based upon the same.
Second.
A unanimous determination of the board, your community supervision has been violated. However, you will be released on February the 21st of this, next year. That's just a few months away. Get your life together and put together a plan so that when you get out, you'll be ready to get out, and you'll be a great mother for your son, and that you will live a productive life for the rest of your life. This will end your hearing, and thank you so much for participation, and please let the next one come in, please, ma'am.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.